chapter of the book of Genesis. The third chapter of the book of Genesis, if you'll turn there with us. The third chapter of the book of Genesis, and beginning with verse 1. And it reads like this: Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. May the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thy word. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come here tonight to Silver City Church. Thank you for this people and Brother Chris and his families that are going in and out before this people. I pray that you bless them together. God, encourage their hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd send many, many blessings, God, in the future this way. And Father, as we come down to this hour now, I pray once again, God, that you'd touch these lips of clay, God, one more time, and let us speak the very oracles of God. And Father, let your word go out and find its lodging place. Lord, if there's a boy or girl or man or woman here tonight that knows thee not, God, may they come and find Jesus precious to their soul before this service comes to a close. Lord, if there's someone here tonight following thee afar off, I pray this would be the good night when they'd come and renew that covenant with thee. Lord, now take us, use us for thy name's honor and glory. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, we'll praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Want us to look again at verse 3. And here, the woman is speaking to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And she said, But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And I want to use this text of trees. Trees. Now, there were all sorts of trees in the Garden of Eden. But there was two significant trees that is spoke of, and that is the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here God has told Adam and Eve, as I read in your hearing, he said, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said that if you eat of it, if you touch it, you shall die. You shall die. Notice there that the tree of life, there's restrictions on this tree. Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Restrictions. You can't touch it. You can't eat the fruit of it. If you do, you will die. The tree of life, there is no restrictions on the tree of life. My friends, the Bible has quite a bit to say there about trees, and I want us to look at some of those things here tonight. And we look in the 14th chapter of the book of Job, and beginning with verse 7, he says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth buds like a plant. Listen, what is he saying? He's saying that there's hope of a tree if it's cut down, you know, that it'll bud again, that it'll live again. Listen, I'm thankful tonight, my friends, if a Christian dies and they carry his body out to the graveyard, that is not the end. There's hope beyond the grave. That's what he's saying in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. Said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is incorruptible and indefiled and that fadeth not away and reserved in heaven for you. Folks, I want to tell you tonight when this old body goes back to the dust, I've got reservations made in a city called heaven and I'm going to that place as sure as you live. Death's not the end for a Christian. My friend tonight, listen. You look over in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and David said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. In his law doeth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, just a few years ago, we're just coming out of a drought here in these northern counties of Georgia. But listen, my friend, you know, when we was in that drought, you could go down by the riverside where the trees was growing on the riverbank, and they were flourishing. Listen, their leaves was not withering. Let me tell you, that's the way the children of God is. You see, those trees was close to the water, close to the riverbank, as long as we'll stay close to the riverbank, to the water, God will bless. He'll bless his children. Sure as you live. While we're in Psalms, look at Psalms 104:16. David said in Psalms 104:16, he said, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. No, listen, you know what he's talking about. That sap gives life to trees. These trees out here that's budding and blooming out, the sap has risen up in them. I believe it's time us as the church has let the sap of God rise up in us, my friend, and blossom out for the Lord. Oh, listen, that's the way he wants to bless us. My friend, as sure as you live, Then you turn over in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 31, and I believe it's verse 8. Now I want to show you something right here. In Ezekiel chapter 31 in verse 8, he said the cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees nor lack his could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs. The chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor the trees in the garden of God was like unto him in beauty. Who's he speaking up there? Some scholar says that he is prophesying against Pharaoh. Who did Pharaoh represent? Egypt represented the world, and Pharaoh represented Satan. And he's talking about Satan here. Listen, I believe that Satan was in the garden of God, that he disguised himself as a tree. That's what he's saying here in verse 8. Listen, you say, oh, Satan couldn't do that. He disguised himself as a serpent, didn't he? It wouldn't have been any trouble for him to disguise himself as a tree. And I believe that he did. Here it talks about the garden of God. Listen, there was none like him in his beauty, disguised as this tree. You see, that's the way Satan comes, in disguise. He don't want you to see the real him, my friend. He comes in disguise. The Bible said he cometh not, but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And brother, he's on the job tonight. As sure as you live, he's on the job in this nation that we live in tonight. As I look out, morally speaking, I believe that this nation is at the lowest point that it's ever been since its foundation. Oh, listen, they think because that we have a great army and that we have weapons of mass destruction that no one could ever overthrow us. But I'll tell you, the Bible said, woe to the individual and all the nations that forget God. Oh, listen. I remember reading about the Titanic. The Titanic, one of the greatest ships that's ever been built. And there, just before its maiden voyage, they said that the owners and the builders of Titanic made this statement. They said even God could not sink the Titanic. But on its maiden voyage in the North Atlantic Sea, there after repeated warnings, listen, they had in that day what they call a wireless telegraph. And they was two ships ahead of the Titanic. One was called the Corona, and the other was called the California. And with these wireless telegraphs, they were sending messages to the Titanic. Change your course. There is icebergs ahead. And those messages was ignored. And there the Titanic went on. And people thinking that it couldn't be sunk. But it was sunk. There, and listen, my friend, the nation that reminds me of the United States, listen, the politicians and people running this country act like that nothing could ever happen to this nation. But listen, all of the nations that turns away from God go down in defeat. before it's over with. Friend, as sure as you live, the Titanic received those warnings, but they ignored them. You may be sitting here tonight, and God is sending you a warning that you need to come to Him and make things right with Him. My friend, listen. I advise you tonight to heed those warnings. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, you need to heed the warnings of the Holy Spirit and come and make it right with the Lord. Make it right with Him before it's too late. Oh, listen. Beloved friend, you say, well, I'll get saved when I want to. Listen, let me say something, sinner friend, tonight. Getting saved is not an option. It's an essential to get saved. It's not an option. As somebody said the other night, you don't get saved whenever you want to. It's when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and makes you to know that you're lost and undone. That's the time to come. That's the time to come to Him. Oh, listen tonight. Beloved friends, we look over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, in verse 3. And Chris kindly hit on this verse last night. In Ecclesiastes 11, 3, it said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What is he saying? I want you to notice something in this verse of Scripture. It uses two directions, north and south. He said if the tree falls to the north or the south, wherever that tree falls, that is where it will be. What is he saying? He's saying, if you die in your sins, that is where you'll be in eternity. Listen, hell will be your home. My friend, as sure as you live, you see, there's not, my friend, several ways to Christ. There's only one way to Him, and that's through the Holy Spirit. But beloved friend, listen, there's only two ways. There's a way, the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, listen, you're either on that broad way or you're on the narrow way. The Bible said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and wide is the gate, and many be that go in thereat. But straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life, and few be that find it. Oh, listen, my friend tonight, there are two ways. One leads down to hell and the other leads to heaven and immortal glory. Oh, listen, tonight, my friend, now getting back to the text here tonight, he said that if you eat of that tree or if you touch it, you will die. That was the restrictions on that tree. And we don't see or hear anything about the tree of life. Next thing that we hear about the tree of life is when the man and the woman was cast out of the garden. And the Bible said that God put cherubims and a flaming sword at the entrance of the garden, which turned every way to keep the tree of life, lest man go back in and eat of that fruit and live forever. Can you imagine living forever in this sinful body? Oh, listen, that's the reason. You say, well, preacher, what happened to the Garden of Eden and all those things that were in it, and all the trees that were in it? A lot of people have been searching for the Garden of Eden, but they'll never find it because the Garden of Eden were washed away in Noah's flood. It was taken care of then in Noah's flood. But listen, and that tree of life was washed away. And the next time we hear about the tree of life is in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations. And he said that there was a throne and a river that flowed out from under the throne. And in the midst of the river and on either side of it was the tree of life. But folks, I want to tell you, that tree of life appeared before then. And I want to tell you where that it appeared. It appeared on a place called Calvary. Calvary's Hill. Listen, the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse. But let me tell you, when they hung him on that cross there, my beloved friend, I don't know what kind of wood the cross was made out of. Some say a dogwood. I never seen any dogwoods when I was in Israel. Listen, the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't make any difference what it was made out of. What makes the difference is who was hanging on it. Listen, my friend, when they hung him there and they nailed his hands and his feet, that tree became the tree of life. And listen, all that will come to it, just as they, Chris, was no restrictions in the Garden of Eden, there is still no restrictions. Anyone, let whosoever will come. Listen, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made white as snow. Glory to his name. There's no restrictions. Tonight you can come to this tree of life, my friend, tonight, and live forever, partake of the fruit on it, and live forever with him in heaven. Oh, listen, I don't know how to make it any plainer than that. Beloved, tonight, that tree, that cross became the tree of life, and Jesus became that fruit. And when we come, he told his disciples there, when they sat at the table, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no inheritance with me. But whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Oh, listen, my friend, tonight, come to the cross, and there's life there. The fruit that is hanging on that tree, which is Jesus Christ, my beloved friend, can give you eternal life. Oh, listen, as I said, let me say it again. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, there was no restrictions on the tree of life while they were there. And there still isn't any restrictions. You can come. It doesn't make any difference who you are or where you've been. You can come to this tree and eat of this fruit and live forever with him in heaven. Do you want to come? No restrictions. Whoever you are, come to him and live tonight. Someone come with a song. And if you're here tonight, my friend, you're lost. What a great opportunity that you have. Let me say this just before they sing. You know, we're entering into that Easter season. And you know, let me just say something about the cross right here. You know, crucifixion was invented by the Phoenicians. And by the time the Romans got a hold of it, they made this into a torture device. The Phoenicians come out with an X-shaped cross. But the Romans found out when they took a man and nailed him to this cross, they pulled his feet up under him and nailed his feet. He was like this right here, and his hands out like that. And when they raised that cross up, it suppressed the diaphragm, and a man could not breathe except by pushing up. And every time that he pushed up to breathe, he was in torture. It was a torture device. My friend, listen. Most everybody that died on the cross died from asphyxiation. They smothered to death. You know, I'll prove that to you. You know, when they come by, you know the reason they broke those other two's legs? They broke their legs and they couldn't push up anymore. And they would suffocate. That's the reason they broke their legs. But when they come to Jesus, thank God, it'd been prophesied that not a bone in his body would be broken. He was already dead, and that Roman soldier took a spear and pierced his side. And the Bible said, there came forth blood and water, his precious blood, as he hung on that tree, made it possible for you and I to go to heaven when this life's over with. Oh, listen. Do you want to live forever? Come to this tree. Come to this tree and live forever.